Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Thank you everybody for tuning in. I'm really excited to announce right off the bat that we released the book, Hong Kong Business Supercharged. It's been 8 years doing business in Asia, 1 year doing these podcasts, 4 months writing the book, and I prepared a pretty cool sales page for you guys to check out what the offer is at globalfromasia.com/HKSuper. Check it out. I appreciate all feedback. I made 3 different packages to choose from for different budgets and needs. I kept my word of getting it out by November 1st and been already getting some interesting feedback and insights and people liking it overall, and trying my best to make it clear and easier to do business globally from Hong Kong. All right, enough of that. Let's go on to the show. We have Deepak Mudnani, a global businessman. He's truly traveled and learned and lived around the world, but he keeps coming back to his base of Hong Kong, where he's focusing on global furniture brands, as well as partner and founder of an awesome co-working space and startup academy called Paperclip HK. He has tons and tons of experience. We're going to focus on the import-export side of it for the most part in this interview. He's going to share how he got into the furniture and educational supply industries. I thought it was a good topic because I know tons of entrepreneurs similar like me have problems finding out which category to focus on, and does that pick you or do you pick it, and how do you get your first customer. He kind of goes into that in pretty good detail. So I hope this helps you guys that might be in that situation. Let's listen in. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We're here in Hong Kong again, and I'm in Deepak Mudnani's office in Shun Wan. Thank you for coming here, Deepak.
Hey, Mike. Great to be here. Sure. Thanks for putting me on this podcast.
Do you mind introducing yourself quickly? I know you're very accomplished. There's so many things to say. Can you introduce yourself quickly to our listeners?
I don't know if accomplished is the right word, but definitely complicated. Just briefly, I'm Indian, born in Hong Kong, and then lived around the world from studying to working. There's Switzerland, there's the US, there's Chile, Poland, Czech Republic, China, India, and Dubai. So definitely been around, very lucky. I run 2 businesses right now, generally. One's my supply chain management business that does sourcing and supply chain management and manufacturing and design out of China, primarily stationery and furniture. So I have about 4 offices in different locations in China and about 60 staff. I took the big step about 10 years ago to learn Mandarin. So I speak basic Mandarin, which is extremely helpful. And then I use the word Deepak 2.0, which is I developed Paperclip. That's based out of Hong Kong, which is my startup campus, a co-work space and an academy. And I get to, at the first level, train and teach startups and entrepreneurs. And the next step, which will be 2015 onwards, which will be to start more in a more organized fashion, investing in them as well. But just developing platforms and trying to almost package all my experiences, my entrepreneurial experiences, successes, and the many failures into almost Deepak 2.0, what I want to be doing for the next 20 or 30 years.
There's so many things you can share. I mean, this get multiple podcasts, maybe we could even have you come back in the future. So that's interesting. So you're born in Hong Kong, and how did you first get involved with like China sourcing and the manufacturing business?
So as it's very typical of my community or tribe, we're Sindhis, a type of Indian, originally from the north of India, which is now Pakistan. So we're technically the only Indian / Hindus that are stateless out of India. So we were forced to leave and set up businesses. And as a compliment, we're actually known as the Jews of India, as a compliment in the sense that we're supposed to be very good business people, okay? And so you'll find us all over the world. And my father left India. He started working at the age of 15 or 16, and came to Hong Kong in the late 60s, early 70s, hustled, set up his businesses eventually, and then ended up having one of the largest trading companies here. And as every empire does, you know, it's got its up cycle and its down cycle. When I joined the family business, it was halfway through its down cycle. And my first 5 years was basically firefighting and ending up closing his companies. But that's where I got the experiences in terms of the travel, Chile, Poland, Czech Republic, and the other markets, and China, And I just got a feel into the trading business, let's just say. That means import-export trading business. Okay, so that was my first foray into trading business. And then I had to almost reset for various reasons. And I started on my own about the year 2000. And I realized that I'm not trader import-export guy in the sense that, you know, buy low and sell high. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that's A, I didn't find it long-term, and B, I didn't find it a value-added skill set because you're just competing on a very quick price point. I felt that I needed to get into something, dig deeper, specialize. So being from here, you know, you have to grab here, meaning Asia and Hong Kong and China, you have to grab the resources that are at your hand. I couldn't speak Mandarin, so first step, learn Mandarin. Second step, spend a lot more time in China in manufacturing. So lucky enough, I had a client that was small at the time and kind of bet on me, and we kind of worked together, and he mentored me. And so I say the rest is history, but 15 years later, I have 60 people, 4 offices. I use my Hong Kong operations as a finance and logistics kind of planning area. And then it's all manufacturing and development in China. And I've brought on various mentors over the years to help me learn about how to build businesses, because that's the part, and that's what I tell people at Paperclip as well. There's a lot of business that is not rocket science, which is why you need mentors, people who can advise you on just best practices. You have to ultimately do what you want. And the second part of the business is the rocket science. These are the specialist skill sets. It could be finance, it could be furniture, like I was doing, you know? So it could be anything, and technology or aspects of technology. And so I was lucky enough to, A, have my first client in the education sector in the U.S. So I got to build their whole China supply chain, stationary sourcing effectively. And because it's education market in the U.S. and for the age groups of 6 to 12, it's highly controlled. So from a safety point of view, so we were forced very early on to work on quality standards, packing standards because of the U.S. market, raw material testing. In fact, we were ahead of the curve for the U.S. laws with respect to import and testing on every product lot of goods from lead to phthalates, because this is the kind of quality team that we had built. And luckily enough, business got complicated enough that we could respond to it as well. Of course, there's a lot of learning in this. Believe me, this is not easy. And, you know, Mike, you live in China. You had your China experiences as well. Yes. So, look, it's all the Wild West in that sense. But that is the way. That is what it is. But it's how you build that level of quality and what I call organization and systems and processes that kind of make sense of the madness, because you are working with the madness when it comes to China. And now, I mean, I buy all the way from Qingdao, which is way north, you know, then Zhejiang, which is all the Shanghai and Hangzhou areas, and then completely in South China as well. So, you know, it's quite interesting. And the last couple of years, I've actually started dabbling into factories. So making small investments in factories. Again, this is my learning curve. And one factory does glued glass furniture, which is very high-end stuff and very hard to do. Like, the Italians have a hard time doing it. Europeans have a hard time doing it. So we've successfully managed to do it over here. It's a small workshop that I don't know how much it can scale. I'm still learning, but it's a very specialized process. And then I do something highly competitive like whiteboards, because just typically my customer buys a lot, and my suppliers just got lazy with the business. They just kept getting orders, and I know there's not a lot you could do with this materials and this kind of product. But you realize that once you start manufacturing, that there is a lot you can do. And the glues and, you know, and the packing and the printing and how you can just make these minor improvements that the factories weren't willing to put the effort in. So we did that, and now we're building better product every time, even though the prices are the same, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's really interesting. And I think there's a lot of listeners are also hustlers like us. Mm. And they're, I'm sure, very curious how you went through that with your family business, and you found your first client in education. So you're mostly... seems like in furniture and education products.
So I use the categories as furniture and stationery. And stationery involves like marker pens to furniture to cut and sew to PU molded type of products to plastic. So there's a range, yeah.
Okay, sure. And I'm sure people are curious, how did you choose? Did those choose you, or did you choose those markets?
So I have a very interesting story. I have a friend of mine who's an actor, and he was sharing his story in the media once, and I was sitting with him while he was sharing his story, and they asked him why he wanted to become an actor. And he was like, I used to watch, of course, his father's a very accomplished actor, but not every son follows the industry. And he said that I used to watch movies and my father's movies and other movies. And I was like, oh, I love this role as the advertising guy. I love this role as a warrior. I love this role as the pained romantic. I started loving all these roles. And then I realized that what I loved was not really the actual role versus the guy who's able to be that chameleon to act those various roles ultimately. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he realized that he took it one step back and he wanted to be that guy that does the different roles. It's a good analogy because when you're working in a place like China, you can do anything. And all you guys hustling out there, right?
This is where we all have the problem. I think a lot of entrepreneurs have this problem of focusing or choosing which market. So I'm really excited to hear this.
So I was suffering from this. Okay, I use the word respectfully again, entrepreneurial ADD, in the sense that not as a disability, absolutely not, but as a sense of just all these opportunities, because that's all you see.
Exactly.
You put a dollar sign on something. I can sell this. I can sell this. But you have to actually take a step back and figure out what's the skill set that you're trying to develop for the long term. So my skill set was, I used the word, for lack of a better description, supply chain management. Supply chain management means the ability to source in an organized fashion to make sure you're not just getting the cheapest price, because I can get you any price you want in China. Ultimately, you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
Okay? We've all been through that.
True.
Then it's like, then it's a qualification process of quality standards. You need to understand the product that you're selling. Okay, and then it's about factory size, the customer, reorders, packing requirements, payment terms, how the customer's place in the sales cycle and the distribution cycle. Okay, it sounds complicated because it is.
Yes.
So us hustlers, we think we can do anything. You know, suddenly you jump in. You know, we throw ourselves at a problem and we'll fix it. And okay, look. You need that thick skin. You need that ability to learn. You need that ability to analyze your mistakes, because you are going to make mistakes. I have made a ton of mistakes. Hence, I can talk with A, confidence, and B, experience. Okay, so that's fine. The whole point isn't so much about the mistakes, but what are you trying to get at? If it's purely about profit, you're going to be in trouble. Or it's a short-term game. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I couldn't be that guy that was purely about profit. Mm. But the setup and style is very different. If you want to develop a specialty, now I lacked two things. I lacked an organized process on how to manage China. I lacked a product skill set. Okay? So I learned about how to get myself organized in China, which was just spending time there, mm-hmm. talking to factories. I had a client that was supporting with business that was great, you know? So it wasn't like you get this wrong and you're dead or you will never do business again. No. They understood that China was also the Wild West in that sense. And it needs time, it needs a strategy. And you know what? Strategies take time to develop, okay? And then I realized I needed a product skill set. So I used the word that I fell into furniture. I love design. Who doesn't love design, okay? But it was a product that was complicated and needed work, and people needed help in China to develop it, okay? So I came into that because introduced through somebody. And this guy was a second-generation furniture manufacturer in the UK and was moving the business to China. So my furniture brand is called Deep Green. The website is deepgreen.hk, okay? So this is the one that I could now advertise, because you can't advertise sourcing services because
exactly.
You and everybody are sourcing.
Exactly.
I always use the word that you're competing with a guy with a fax machine at home probably,
yeah.
You know, and he
I
says,
yeah,
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 right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so what differentiates you from a guy like me who's a little more organized versus a Li and Fung?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's hard to say.
And it's online too, because a website, you know.
You can make yourself anything
exactly.
You want, right? So I fell into a product skill set, which was amazing, and I enjoyed it. So clearly very technical. And then you build around that. And so he and I developed standards in China. And then because we were designing, developing all the stuff for him, my partner Nick Green in the UK, I was like, why don't we form a new company in Hong Kong? Which is one of the reasons why Hong Kong is amazing, is for setting up companies.
Exactly.
Set up a company in Hong Kong and market to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
You know, and 7 years later, again, the rest is history.
Exactly.
You know, we supply with Deep Green now some of the top retailers in the world. And we're still trying to penetrate the US market. And I'm still learning about that because it's a different beast.
Yeah.
We cover most of the top retailers in Europe.
Okay.
So it's great. That's been part of the fun journey as well.
Yeah, it's a really, really great story. And I totally agree. Like, I think I was that guy with the fax machine working out of a basement.
So was I.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think a lot of people can just can do that. So it's differentiating is choosing a market, making a brand. So is that OEM or?
It's OEM and ODM because it's ODM, original design manufacturing, because I'm offering the designs that the retailers are taking under their brand name. You know, so my value proposition to them to put on my paperclip hat, okay, which is the business mentor hat, is I'm helping them compete with IKEA. Okay?
Okay.
Because they still need to have furniture and they'll never compete with IKEA.
Yeah.
IKEA is a country on its own, okay? It's a machine, okay? So don't even go there. But you know, there are various hacks you can do. Today, if I want to get into a skill set like I am planning on with, and you and I have been talking about this, Mike, about Shenzhen and hardware and manufacturing for Kickstarter projects and, you know, people who are now trying to develop the Internet of Things, I can take my supply chain background, my finance and logistics services, and hire a person, somebody with a skill set today with hardware manufacturing. And I know how to manage these people because one of my skill sets is hiring in China, which is another skill set that you have to develop because China is so big.
Yes.
Have you ever put out an advertisement in China for a job, a resume? And how many resumes do you get?
It's overwhelming. It's just huge volume of, it's just too much volume for anything in China. It's just overwhelming.
So managing that, I mean, you've tried sourcing products on Alibaba, same thing,
exactly.
A million suppliers, okay? Hence, if anything, I say Alibaba's helped businesses like mine because it allows me to differentiate. I don't have to do the grunt work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell a customer, I'm digressing a bit, check out what you want on Alibaba,
exactly.
Send me the links, and then I can develop the quality standards to figure out what you want. And then I'll go directly to the factories and find those under the radar factories kind of things, you know, and help them then develop according to your requirements.
Okay. And just like you said with the sourcing website, Alibaba is similar. Anybody could create an Alibaba account as a supplier and get gold. I think gold, you can just pay 30,000 RMB and get gold supplier. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's really good feedback, I think, because I think a lot of listeners are just general traders right now. They're just looking for opportunities, and which is okay, right, to find what you like to do and learn. But I think it's better to specialize in a market.
So I would recommend two things to general traders and people who are looking to specialize and trying to develop like a skill set. Spend time with your customers, for sure, okay? Understand how they buy and what they look for. A lot of how they buy is habit versus what they can describe. So pick up on their habits, first part. Like walking them through a fair is very interesting.
Yeah.
They will stop at booths that you would never stop at, and you need to know why. Secondly, spend time at their shops or look at their websites in terms of how they're retailing, because you're looking at ultimately their customers, understanding the insights from them and how they buy. Third part is definitely spend time. Trade fairs are important, but at the factories. Especially organized factories, because you learn a lot in terms of how the factories are controlling the quality. There's so many areas to control. It could even be the temperature in the factory. Okay, so it's how they're controlling that. Another story. I do a lot of glass, a ton of glass, okay? And there are some massive factories in China and small factories in China. And we have developed a process on bent glass that we called low stress. It was a challenge given to us by one of our retailers, okay, Marks and Spencers, who have glass technologists on board. The UK is very specialized in glass. I think it's to do with their history of manufacturing. And they used to buy bent glass furniture from Italy and China. They stopped buying it because the defect rate, there's always a defect rate, was too high. And you can't really temper bent glass. And a lot of people will say, yes, you can. I know you can, but there are many designs that you can't temper. Very basic shapes you can, which isn't interesting anymore. So our stuff is very designery. There's a lot of interesting shapes to it, and you can't temper that. And they asked us to say that if you can solve, there's a glass score from a spectrometer. There was like over 5 or over 10 or over 15. If you can get this below 4 or 3, it's basically a stress gauge. And we would consider restarting this business. And they'd stopped this business for 5 years.
Wow.
It was a challenge to us. We developed a process working with our factories to get this score below 0.3, 0.2.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we test 100% before we pack, okay? So it's amazing. But that's just interesting to talk about us working with our factories. I'm not a glass technologist, right? But we developed a process that can now, because we work with the clients, the customer, and the factory, And I've got my setup on the ground, of course. But we developed a solution to this. And guess what? They have restarted the glass business in the UK safely. And everybody's win-win here.
Great. So you're like problem solver and also trust with your client and your supplier.
I think problem solver is also key to that. It's a very good way to put it. Absolutely.
Great. So yeah, I think so. Listeners, I mean, hopefully you're taking some great notes. This is a really amazing show, and because I know a lot of people always struggle with which market. Maybe start with a customer, find the problem, and see how valuable you can be in that process. Is that maybe
100%? I mean, I love this idea of problem solving because you guys have to be detectives here. You know what? Put the opportunity and money aside, because I find that time to time clouds the vision. All right? Because ultimately, if you're going to work hard enough at something, you're going to make money. All right? So guys, don't worry about that. Okay? The journey of an entrepreneur, consider it an 8-year journey. Eight years at the least. 8's a lucky number in China.
Yeah.
Okay? In Hong Kong especially. Okay? So on average, it's an 8-year journey. So prepare to put in that time and consider it an MBA where you get to have a ton of fun, travel the world, and learn.
I would agree. I think I use my MBA money too. I was saving for MBA and
Good
decided.
Good for you. Good for you, Mike.
This will be my MBA. Cool. Well, this has been really, really amazing. I have, I don't want to go too off topic, but I do want to talk about your paperclip. So
sure.
Maybe we'll move from China to
well, the first big invite is for all you hustlers out there. If you're coming by Hong Kong, come by paperclip, come and use the space where I'll give you the 2-day free pass, but come and check it out and come say hello to me for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing space. I've been spending my time there. Really, really, really big open space and
it's big for Hong Kong.
Yeah, exactly. even in ones I've seen in China, it's
sure.
big. So maybe you can give us some ideas how this came to be. And I also, there's differentiators for sure with the Academy and the Startup Academy.
So again, it's now about consolidating and refocusing. So I'm at the phase where, I'm building businesses, not with ease, but with control in China today. All right. So I've got a lot of expertise in that. And so I'm also investing now in joint ventures. I call them joint ventures in people who want to set up manufacturing and trading in China, and maybe they have a client or a skill set. Okay. So I'm investing with them as partners. I'm providing finance and the accounting and the company setup and my China experience on the manufacturing side.
Yeah.
So I'm just doing another one that's related to my furniture and high-end furniture displays for retailers, luxury retailers like Rolex and Dior and Jurlik and L'Oreal, etc. Okay? So for their retail shops, displays and furniture. Okay? So paperclip is almost like this entrepreneurial garden, all right, where I want to be able to just download all my experience because I'm doing this for a bigger vision. Okay, I do ultimately want to connect what I call the middle of the pyramid entrepreneurs, the big vision here in China, India, Africa, and South America. Okay, this is the big vision.
Wow.
And somebody with my background and people with my background can do this. The hustlers like us, Mike.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
It's us, the organized hustlers. Okay, and China's not going anywhere because, it's the manufacturer for the world that's going to be like that for a while because they are so organized. Good or bad, they're here to stay. And so paperclip is almost an extension of trying to package my experiences and then set up this platform. And then I get to work with, I get to meet entrepreneurs every day who are working on their dreams. And I get to provide them with basic resources, stuff that I wish I knew 20 years ago. If I had a paperclip 20 years ago, it would have changed my life.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's true, but in a way it's different types of learning.
Absolutely.
You still got to learn by making mistakes, but this program is really amazing. And I'm also going to share tonight. I'm looking forward to it here. And
yes, you're going to the workshop. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. And I just learned about that joint venture. Is that like online? Is there something online people can read about that?
It's called. I should be getting it. I'll put that. I'll put that on my LinkedIn profile. But
okay.
The company is called Yame.
Okay.
And it's just another company that I'm working with, and I work with the entrepreneurs downstairs, and I'm helping set up a factory in China. So that's going to be my third factory in China.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, where are these usually located?
Right now, South China.
Okay.
Yeah, because again, geography is a challenge in China. It's too big.
So big.
Yeah.
Exactly. People
So I have another China hack. Let me share that.
Sure.
Okay. Definitely. For those of you listening out there, I tried to open offices all over China because I'm so ambitious. I scaled that back. I've only got Dongguan, Guangzhou, Yiwu, which is another like almost like an anomaly, but the Yiwu market. But I've got a team there in Yiwu. Okay. And then Hong Kong. Okay. I was working on Ningbo, Hangzhou. I was working on all these different places, but I scaled back. And a wise guy told me that, look, it's going to be very hard to control and find good people in China. And look, it's hard to find good people, period, okay? And the flip side is you get a lot of people in China, especially women, who are having babies. And they're extremely qualified. Yeah. And I have a couple of theories behind that, but one theory I think is because it's a whole one child and, you know, the emperor boy, you know, syndrome. Yeah. They've always had to hustle harder than everybody else, okay? So I find that a lot of these qualified people now, when they want to have kids, they want to go back to their hometowns, and guess what? There's no work for them. So I hire these people and let them work from home. Great. And I control them out of my, you know, offices here. Mm-hmm. But these guys are so appreciative of the opportunity. They get to take care of their kids, which I'm so happy about. I'm a father of two, you know? Yeah. And, you know, I get my work done. Amazing. Win, win, win. Yeah. So a lot of people struggle with the idea of, but you can't control them. Look, yeah. It's China.
I think that's like an Asia thing, is controlling. Like in the West, there is more and more of this work from home, work remotely.
Yeah, well then Yahoo called everybody back. Mm. So, okay. Well, no, so no, people have issues with control. I think it's a global thing at the end of the day. But it is a mindset thing at the same time. But you know, which is just with the flexibility, and you know what, things are, look, it's never easy. It's just another form of management. But once you set that up, you'll see magic happen, guys. So that's just another China hack.
Thanks for sharing that, and also for you're doing amazing things here. So I'm sure people are interested about you as your investment. What types of projects do you look for?
So currently, as long as it's related to China manufacturing, and I can add value, and I'll know if I can add value, I'll be open to look at projects.
Okay,
so that's great, and I look at companies with traction. So these aren't just ideas.
Yeah.
Hey, I can sell this, and I know this guy. No, are you selling? Have you had business done? You have a client base that you could potentially grow but don't have the resources. You know the kind of product, you specialize in your product, and you're just struggling manufacturing. So these are areas that I can add value in, all right? And then the next phase is probably trying to set up kind of service for the Internet of Things that are happening now, the Kickstarter, Indiegogo type projects that people need manufacturing services in China. So I'm looking to set that up, absolutely, and that's probably a 2015 project.
Okay. Really, really great stuff here. I always like to ask one tip for maybe a newbie listening that doesn't have a Hong Kong company, maybe hasn't even been to Asia, but they want to come in here, what would you tell them?
I mean, look, definitely, set up, come to the co-work spaces. Okay, paperclip, fine, it's mine, but there's a ton of them out here in Hong Kong. Okay, see what you like, all right? Because you're going to get to find a good co-work space is there to help the community. It's always about the community first. So talk to them. You know, they should be able to give you and share resources. You know, and then there's some organizations in Hong Kong like Thai called the Indus Entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And they're mostly mentoring. But there's a ton of business services people are involved in there. And they're all startup friendly. I use this word a lot. Are you startup friendly to the service providers? Okay. Because you can't charge corporate prices to startups. It's a different market, a different industry, a different service requirement, okay? They need advice. It's more of that paid forward attitude. And ultimately, those service providers who are listening out there, you're learning more from them, ultimately, than they're learning from you. Trust me on this one, cool. Okay?
That's a really good tip. So yeah, come out to Hong Kong, come to Paperclip, and talk to Deepak.
Absolutely, please. Yeah, look me up.
Cool. And also, I'm sure people are going to want to reach out to you. You said LinkedIn is the best, or?
Yeah, guys, find me on LinkedIn. My email.
Yeah, sure.
My email is deepak.m@paperclip.hk.com. Look, just Google me. You'll find me. There's a lot of links out there because we've been so active with Paperclip. So yeah.
Awesome. Great. Thanks for sharing, Deepak, and that's a wrap.
Thanks, cool. Guys.
All right. Cheers. Thank you so much, Deepak, for coming on the show. He and I had a lot of fun in this one, and I learned, and I was also motivated. I hope you guys did get that as well. I also think you guys should take him up on his offer. If you're in town, he'll give you a free 2-day pass at his co-working space, so Paperclip HK. It's a really comfortable, spacious spot, especially for Hong Kong in Shun Wan District, which is right next to Central. You can almost walk there from HSBC Hong Kong and other places. So when you're coming from overseas, you should stop by and say hi to Deepak. Also, I guess sometimes people ask me if it's okay to reach out to people on that we interview here. Please do. I love that. I mean, I like it where you can give them thank them for spending the time on the show and sharing. So don't feel bad at all. I also think we should get Deepak on another show. He's got tons of experience and he's a lot of fun, I think. So give me feedback too if you want him back. All right, guys, till next time, enjoy the rest of your week. Bye bye.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.